for that. Let me tell you, this will be so short tonight, you're going to want to give me an extra offering, but don't. I've already been well compensated. Just getting to be here, listening to this good singing, and being able to see you and your faces. What's that baby's name? What's the baby's name here? Catherine, yeah. Hey, remember whenever you when you got saved, remember after you got saved? Let me get this. Oh, I'm on. I'm good. Remember when you got saved and you could run down the aisle grinning like Catherine? I seen her face, Miss Buddy. She thought, I'm getting rid of this bunch. And she was headed to the front, down to the altar. Yes, sir. Remember when it was that way, when you got saved, come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, nothing bothered you? You know, here's a fact. Here's a fact. While you turn to the book of Luke, at least we got two verses in there we're going to look at. And here's just a fact that man's born in this world full of trouble. His days are short, and he's born without hope, without God, until he comes to know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. That's what we're going to celebrate here tonight, is a young lady that got born into the family of God. God been tugging at her, dealing with her a little while, and now she's born into the family of God. And so she's following the Lord as an act of obedience in baptism, and we're glad to have you here. It's a Bible thing to be able to have folks like that care about you, concerned with you, and that love you to be able to witness this holy event. Let me tell you right now is that everybody in the building and then the next person you meet, when you meet them, they're born in sin without hope, without God. Let me ask you this here tonight. What do you think it'd take for you to go to heaven? Right. Now, she got an answer right. That's because she ran to the altar good. Now that you've got it in your mind, you've got the answer in your mind, can you put a chapter, book, and verse with it? A lot of people, buddy, that's trying to come their way instead of God's way. And let me tell you, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Luke 15, verse number 6 and verse number 9. If you're able to stand, then let's do so in those two places there tonight. Now, the first one there is whenever he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. All right, then look down there about verse number 9. And when she had found it, talking about the missing piece of silver that she had lost, and so she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there shall be joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We thank you for it. We ask a blessing snap on these that have gathered tonight. And Lord, we thank you for saving, receiving, and Lord, for saving our souls and letting us rejoice together in the Lord. Now, bless, I pray, this service tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to speak a minute or two, if I might, on rejoice with me. Now, I want to say to you, there's some good rejoicing in the Bible. There's some bad rejoicing in the Bible. There are folks that are over there in the book of Psalm 35, do not turn there, but there were folks that were rejoicing at the hurt of some of the people of God, and they didn't rejoice when they were being prosperous. They rejoiced whenever they were being hurt and ill-treated. They hated the Lord Jesus Christ without a cause, if you please, and that's some bad things to rejoice. They rejoiced when he was on the cross, remember. But let me tell you, there's something you and I ought to be able to rejoice about. Number one, I've only got two things, I think. Let me see. Yeah, I believe that's it. I've got two things and a half another. Here's what it is. Number one, salvation is a joyful occasion. Hey, do you remember the day God come knocking on your heart's door and showing you that it ain't somebody else sitting on the pew, it ain't my brother, it ain't my sister, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Remember when God singled you out and showed you yourself religious but lost and then birthed you into the family of God? What a joyful occasion that was. What a joyful day that was. You know, we have a reason to rejoice. I was thinking about this young lady, you know, and she asked the other night, could she come talk to me a minute? And so her and her mama and her dad, we all went into the office there. And of course, you know, God's already done work, and they've been praying with her. Her Sunday school teachers, she's been listening to them and so forth and on. And let me tell you, here's what it takes. It just takes God to deal personally with your soul, to show you yourself like he sees you. I was thinking about, you know, the reason why we've got to rejoice is that not only was she born physically into this world, and that was a happy occasion, but let me tell you, the new birth, born again into the world that we live in, born into the family of God. Do you realize that, oh, that's the gift of God? And do you realize that, oh, that not only is that the gift of God, but also that when you look into it, that she's going to have a different home than what she's had here now. It's going to be an eternal abode. It's the same home you and I have got. And we're talking about a home that's in heaven, prepared for them that know Jesus and the free pardon of sin. Salvation's a joyful occasion. Every now and again I go to a funeral, and sometimes while our hearts are broken, we're glad that a person that's deceased that had a good testimony for Christ. And let me tell you, there are other times that we go and people that had no testimony whatsoever. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, your own life will pretty much tell what you are and when you leave this world. I want to tell you, salvation's a reason to rejoice. I don't expect to be able to 10 or 15 years from now to even be here. But if I am, I expect you to still be serving God. And here's why. Is because of the fact that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so I'm looking to that, and I'm looking forward to that. Let me tell you, salvation's a joyful occasion. Number two, salvation is a divine celebration. You know, whenever you got born again, it's because there was a divine touch come knocking on your heart's door. I remember sitting in the house of God whenever I was but a sinner, religious and lost. And boy, God would knock upon my heart's door. In fact, is, you know, every time that it got around, I got to looking and thinking, man, this is going to be a night. People are going to be out visiting. They're going to come to, I knew they'd come on a Tuesday. And so I thought, I'll find me someplace to be able to go. So when they get here and try to worry me about being sane, I'll be somewhere else. And you know what happened? They changed it to Thursday. I sitting there not worried about a thing, lost, without hope, without God, going to hell, watching television. I still like to watch Gunsmoke, but I'm going to heaven now. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you find that what we do is that we preach the gospel, that we give out the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. And let me tell you something, it's a divine touch and a divine call that'll bring you to the place to realize your need. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They've been taught you can just bow your head and repeat this prayer and you'll be all right. Get in the baptistry, your name on the church roll. That ain't the way it works. You'll die and go to hell believing that. Here's the way it is. When God comes knocking and God comes calling and knocking passionately upon your heart's door and begins to show you yourself like he sees you. Hey, there's a divine nature that's imparted to you when you get born again. I'll tell you the reason why, because you've been put into a divine family. I was thinking about, you know, in this lesson that we're looking at, is that the reason why we've got to rejoice is because your names have been written down. You know, those disciples, they went up by twos, they came back, they were rejoicing that the devils were subject unto them. And Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils and the spirits are subject unto you, rejoice in this, that your name is written down in heaven. And I got to say to you that whenever you look at this, it's a divine celebration. Did you notice there what he said? Call your loved ones. Call your family. Oh, I got family here tonight. I mean, everybody ever gets saved, man. I wish my family could be here to see me get baptized and all that. That's a good thing. It's a good celebration. And let me tell you right now, not only do you call your family, but you call your friends and all that business there. And let me tell you right now is that the closer the coming of the Lord, probably the fewer and fewer friends you're going to have if you live for God. Yes. But let me tell you, it's good to be able to have the family of God, the household of faith, your family and friends that gather together for this celebration. And not only your friends, but then your kin. I want to tell you now, like you, you've got several of your people here that are kin. And we're all of us know each other and so forth and on. And I've got a lot of family. I've got a lot of kin folk that I think dearly of. Why, you couldn't get them to come to the house of God on a bet. If you did come, it'd scare them to death if they was going to be preaching. I used to have people call me up in my younger days, you know. We'd have a get-together down at the church and invite everybody in town. Of course, you know, it was 92% Roman Catholic, and they were scared to death and hated Bible preaching and hated my guts terribly. But make no mistake about it, we want a few and some every now and again. God will snatch as a brand from the burning. But I just can remember that when we every now and again the phone would ring, someone would say, "Hey, I hear y'all gonna have dinner on the ground." And I said, "Yes, sir, that's right. Do I need to bring anything? How much does it cost?" "It's free, it doesn't cost you a dime." And they said, "Is there gonna be preaching?" I said, "Unless the evangelist dies, there will be." "Oh, really? Is she sick or anything?" See, he's hoping he'd die. "No, not right now, but you never know. You better be ready to meet the Maker." See, in the lesson that we're looking at, here it was, is that you ought to call your family. You call your friends. You know why? You want them to get in on that. You want them to get in on the witness and the joy that you're experiencing. And let me tell you, never be disappointed when you can't get folks as interested in the Lord as you are. It's good enough that you've been born into the family of God and you use your lip and life as a testimony for Christ. I like the singing and like the songs. And let me tell you, it'll mean a lot more to you once you're born again. Is that one of the songs that I like is that one that says, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see." What a great song that is. What a great hymn that is. There's another one, last but not least, is that "I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God." I know that you're out there busy in the workforce. And you're working around a bunch of, for the most part, just a bunch of God-cussing heathens. But don't turn your mind off to them. They need the Lord. And by watching your lip and listening to your lip and watching your life, who knows but what you can open up the door and God will be able to use you to give the gospel unto them. I said all that to be able to say this. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. And after all the muss and fuss of the world and disappointments that we've got out here running up and down the road, it's good to be able to come aside on the Lord's Day with the household of faith and to be able to worship with friends, with family, and with kin. I hope tonight that you will be ever conscientious of the fact that you're a child of the King. Child of the King. There was a man sitting on an airplane. He was going to the field of which God had called him. He was going over there in the remotest part of Africa and to a certain tribe. As he sat there, there was a person that was from that country that sat next to him. It wasn't long until the person next to him that was a native-born person of the very area that this missionary was going to leaned over and asked him and said, "Sir, may I ask you, are you on a trip of business or pleasure?" He said, "Both. It's going to be both." And he said, "Really? Where are you headed?" And he tells him, "Oh," he says, "I'm from that tribe. Could you tell me more about you?" He said, "I'm a child of the King. I'm a royal heir to the throne of grace. And I'm going to tell the King that there are some of his sons and daughters that are waiting to hear the message that I have. And sir, already I suspicion you're going to be one of them." And let me tell you right now, the guy was more inquisitive than ever. Isn't that something? Did you remember whenever God began to make you get interested in what he had to say and who you were and what your ideology was, and as it began to dissipate by the divine touch of God, can you remember when God finally showed you yourself like he saw you, but loved you in spite of who and what you are? I'll tell you, it's a glorious celebration. And if you've not had that experience as yet, I'm certain that you don't as yet know what I'm talking about. But one day you will. One day you'll be as happy as Catherine running down the aisle grinning from ear to ear because she thinks nobody's going to catch her. And let me tell you, when you come to know the Lord, nobody's ever going to be able to catch you again. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. All right, let's pray together, and then we'll go ahead and get started on the baptismal service, and Brother Nathan will lead y'all in some singing. You can go back in the back, start getting ready, and your mama can go back there with you. You ready? All right then. Well, y'all can head on. You can pray while you're walking. Okay? And go right around there at the back. All right? Our Father, we want to say thank you now for the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord, for the blessed word of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for saving Miss Evie. And I pray that you'd help us to help her to grow in grace and love and knowledge of thee. Bless, I pray, these that have gathered tonight be with those that could not be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need to go to the restroom or anything, you know where they are. But Brother Nathan's going to lead you in some singing and this and that. And then we'll be departed here shortly. All right.
Page number 265.